Beginning in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number 13. And the Bible said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, dost thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But let both of them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for the presence of the unseen one. Now, Lord God, I pray in this service today, if there is, and I believe there is folk here today that do not know thee in the free pardon of sin, I pray, O Heavenly Father, that the power of the Holy Ghost of God would be so real, it'd be so powerful, that folk cannot anything but yield to the Holy One of Israel. Now I pray you'd bless us as we study and read your word together. I pray, God, for that you'd plant a hedge of thorns round about this place. I pray for the power to be present. I pray for the blood of Jesus to be applied. And Father, for everything that is done, everything that would happen here in the remainder of this hour, may it be praise and glory and honor unto him who deserves it today. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Keep your Bible open. You may be seated. And in the next little bit, I want to preach to you on the thought, are you wheat or are you tares? Here we find in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus has just completed speaking on another parable of the kingdom. If you've been with us for the last two or three Sundays, you'll know that we've been preaching about the parables of the kingdom of God. Now the Bible said in the book of Matthew, there are two phrases for those of you who have not been with us, but there are two phrases that's used, that Jesus used. If you could, on a pen and paper, somewhere in your Bible, on a scrap piece of paper, it'll help you to understand what he's talking about. I would say to you, if you've got a pen on a piece of paper, just draw your big old circle on there, and you could put out beside of that the kingdom of heaven. But then inside of that big old circle, if you draw a smaller circle and put the kingdom of God, and you'll find that every time that he speaks about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about saved and lost individuals. He's using a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, to teach these folk that there are going to be some in that day who'll say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? And the Lord God Almighty will look at them and say, I never knew you. I didn't know you and forget you. I didn't know you and drop you, but I never, never knew you. You see, there's a big difference today. I would ask everybody in this building, how many of you perhaps would know the governor of North Carolina? You'd say, oh, preacher, I've seen Pat McCrory on television. If I saw him walking down the street, I know who he is. I could recognize him. I've seen his picture on billboards. I've seen his picture on campaign signs. I would know Pat McCrory if he walked down the street. But friend, may I say, does he know you? You see, there's a big difference. You may know about God. You may have heard the blessed old book preach. You may have heard the good old singing. But friend, there's a big difference in knowing about God and knowing God. There's a big difference in you knowing him and him knowing you. Say amen. There's a big difference today in our churches across our country, in our land today. There's folk today that think they're going to get to heaven by doing some good deeds. They think because they've come down to the front, signed a card, prayed a prayer, put some money in a plate, put some money in a jug, gave to missions, maybe they shook the preacher's hand, maybe they joined the church, maybe they were baptized. But friend, the truth of the matter is, unless you've had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, until you have been drawn of the Holy Ghost of God, until you've repented of your sins, you'll bust hell wide open. Friend, may I say to you today, listen to what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 13. He gives a parable of the sower and the seed, and then he goes on to talk about, the Bible said, the wheat and the tares. Now listen, this upset his disciples. Follow me along. Look in verse 36. After the multitude had been sent away. Now it's nothing more than Jesus and his disciples. As these around them, look in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now, that's interesting to me, because here in Matthew chapter 13, there's none less than 8 parables that he spoke about. In Matthew 13, there are 8 stories that he used. But when they come into the house and the crowd has gone away and there's nobody but the 12 and Jesus, they said, now, Lord, I've got a question. And they picked out one of the parables to ask him about. It caused them some problems, Sister Joanne. They said, of all the things that you have said, this one parable, the wheat and the tares, we are bothered about it. And friend, can I tell you something? It ought to bother us today. Amen. I mean, friend, we ought to be sure that we're saved by the grace of God. And my friend, we ought to know without a doubt when we breathe our last breath and when we draw our last breath that heaven is our home. Amen. If you cannot say that this morning, you're living on borrowed time. If you cannot say that, that you say, preacher, I'm a young man. Doesn't matter. Beloved, that little 8-year-old boy this week probably thought he had his whole life ahead of him, and his life was snuffed out. My friend, listen, those folks down in Texas probably figured they had their life ahead of them, and they died this week. There's multitudes and multitudes of folks going out into eternity. If you went out today, would you be ready? Now, notice something here about these wheat and tares. In the little time I got to this morning, I'm going to give you just something briefly. And then we'll go to the house. But notice something here. Jesus went on to explain that in verse 37. Now he says there, follow me along, please. And these disciples had a good question. They said, Lord, explain to us about these wheat and tares. And so he went on to say, look in verse 37. He answered then, said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Thank God, right here in your hand. Lift it up if you got a copy of the Word of God. Right there, lift it up for me. Amen. That is the seed. Amen. And the seed will get the job done every time. That's good seed. We're getting ready, Brother Goldie and them, they're getting ready to plant the garden out yonder. Listen. I like good tomatoes. Amen. I like them kind. Hey, listen, I don't care if they're German Johnson, Big Boy, Better Boys, or Purple Hood, whatever they are, I like them all. Except them old hard kind that you get. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, son, you can throw them against the wall and they don't even bust open. They're like a softball. You say, where'd they come from? I don't know, but
I think they got some baseballs, painted them red, and put a little green on them, and sold them as tomatoes, but they're not. But friend, I got news for you. When the tomatoes, when that plant goes in the ground, it'll determine how good a seed that fruit's going to be according to the seed that's been put in the ground. Say amen. And beloved, may I tell you something? This book right here is good seed. You'll not find an error, a contradiction. You'll not find anything wrong with the Word of God. The Bible said that it will stand the test of time. Heaven and earth shall pass away, and yet my Word will never pass away. I'm glad I'm preaching something this morning, friend, that the ancients of old have preached. I'm glad I'm preaching something that Billy Sunday preached. I'm preaching something that D.L. Moody preached, and it'll still do the job, amen. Folks still can get saved. Not from the Sears and Roebuck, not from the Living Letters, not from the ESV or the NIV and all them other contradictions. Honey, I'm glad to tell you that God has preserved His Word, amen. Now watch it. Back in 37, 38. The seed is the Word of God. The Son of Man is the sower. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That means, my friend, when this seed finds lodging, you got saved recently, didn't you, son? That seed found lodging deep down in his soul, down in his heart, and it produced righteousness. It produced godliness. And thank God, the good seed, it'll find lodging and it'll produce fruit in your life. Read on. But, everybody with me in verse 37? How many of you with me? Say amen. How many got a Bible open? Say amen. But the tares are the children of the what? Wicked one. Wait a minute. Who's he talking about there? You got any kind of idea? Who is the wicked one? The devil. The enemy in verse 39 that sowed them is the devil. He didn't make no contradiction. And the harvest is in the world and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. Quickly now this morning, give you three thoughts. And then I'm going to let you go to the house. Notice something about these wheat and tares this morning. Here's the context. A farmer goes out and he sows the field of good seed. He's got good seed. Brother Reese, he's got good seed to put out there in that field to grow that good wheat. It ain't some of this this stuff today, my friend. Listen, I'm getting off subject, but let me just say something. I believe without a doubt, this crowd out here today, they're poisoning us with bad seed, amen. I mean, listen, they'll go out and we need to get back to some good old-fashioned eating. Say amen. You say, what's wrong with you? I've been doing too much of it. Amen. All right, now listen, what I'm saying is this, is the good seed will produce good fruit, amen. And the good seed was planted by the farmer, and he was expecting a good crop of wheat. But while he was sleeping, sometime during the night, the enemy come. When that enemy come, he started throwing out bad seed. And then that enemy went his way. The farmer didn't know nothing about it. And then they started throwing. And he looked across there, and they all looked the same. I mean, listen, I can see some of you pretty good this morning when I get right up on you. Amen? I put these on. Y'all don't look no better. But I'm saying, hey, man. But now, listen, everybody kind of looks the same. You got on your Sunday clothes. I thank God we ain't one of these highfalutin fancy churches. You come as you are this morning if it's a pair of blue jeans. Hey, man. But I'm telling you, you look the same. I mean, listen, you look good this morning. Even you, Frank. You look good today. Now, the farmer looks out yonder and he sees the field and Miss Joanne, he's figuring on a bumper crop. I mean, listen, it's just full. I mean, the field is full. Boy, he looks out there and he's about ready to count his money. But then he has a problem. The servants come in to him. Look at the Bible. The servants come in and they said, Master, we got some bad news. While we was sleeping, an enemy came through and he throwed out a bunch of tares. Now, basically, a tare is a weed. It's actually what it actually is. It's called a beaded darnel. Now, don't ask me what it. That's just all I know about it. A beaded darnel. That's a weed. Now, here's the thing. It looks like wheat. From the casual observer, you couldn't tell the difference. They looked the same. And the servants come in and they said, "We've got a problem. The enemy has sowed some tares out here and they're coming up with the wheat. Master, what do you reckon we ought to do about it?" Now, if that was you and me, you know what we'd have done? We'd have went out yonder in that field and we'd try our best to start pulling up the weeds. I mean, you said they're going to choke out the good stuff. But you know what he said? Let them alone. Look what the Bible said. Let them alone. Let them grow together. Because he said, if you try to get the bad, you're going to end up getting some of the good. Can I tell you something right now? Y'all all look good to me. Y'all all look like safe folk to me. But I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. God knows whether you're headed to heaven or headed to hell. My friend, I don't know. Your mama don't know. Your dad don't know. Your cousin don't know. Nobody knows but you. Nobody. That this man is saved. I believe he is. But only that man right there knows that. Only I know if I'm saved. I would hope my wife is saved. But I can't tell you she's saved because she's got to tell me herself. You see what I'm saying? I would hope that, thank God, we got a saved piano player over here. Say amen. We've been praying for you for a long time, sister. But based on her testimony, based on her life, I'd say she's got the right stuff. Amen. But now listen, I can't look in your heart. I cannot say he's saved and she's lost and he's saved and he's lost. Hey, only God can point it out. But I got news for you, honey. When God begins to point it out and God begins to burn your heart and God begins to convict your soul, hey, it's time to get saved. Amen. Ain't that right, miss? Ain't that right? Very right. You say, why are you picking on her? About 3 weeks ago, she come up and said, "Preacher, I need to get saved." Fine, outstanding lady, good member of the church, a good lady. But she said, "Preacher, I never have really been saved." Thank God she got saved. Say amen. Some folk, you may sit back down this morning and you say, "Oh, I never would do that. I'd never, what would people think about me?" I'll tell you what they'll say. They'll say, "Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad she got in. I'm glad she's going to heaven and not hell." Amen. Now, back to the story for just a minute. And the Lord said, "No, let them grow together." And he said, when the end comes, by the way, how many of you in your heart, in your soul, how many of you believe the end is near? Say amen. I believe it is. I believe I'll be living when Jesus comes. I believe it's that close. I believe it's that close. And the Master said, just wait. When the end comes, when the harvest comes, then we'll do the separation. Well, now, preacher, how's that going to work? Because you got them all. And by the way, them people over there, the tares, can I tell you who they represent? You say, "Oh, I can tell you who they represent. Man, they're the scum of the earth. They're the drunks and alcoholics and the dope addicts. And I mean, listen, they're the worst. Worse. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir." Because you see, these tares look just like the wheat. I mean, they probably grew beside of them, but they intertangle themselves with the wheat. Put it in your perspective. They may be sitting beside of you. They come to Bible study on Wednesday night. They may sing in a choir. They may preach behind a pulpit. I've known preachers to get saved. Say amen. I've known deacons to get saved. I've known Sunday school teachers. The church I was pastoring years ago, the organist got saved. What does that mean? The enemy came in and throwed out some seed. Let me ask you something. If you had to stand before God Almighty today and He were to look at you and ask you, "Why should I let you come into my heaven what would you say? I've heard people say this, well, I've been a good person all my life. That won't do it. I've had people say, well, I was a member of Harmony Baptist Church. That won't do it. I've had people to say, hey, I've done a lot of good. I've taught a Sunday school class. I've sung in the choir. I've taught this. I've taught vacation Bible school. I've been active. I've run a bus route. Honey, I got news for you. You can do a lot of religious activities and be lost and go to hell. You can be. So how do you tell the difference? You can't and I can't. But the Master can. Here's how it pans out. The wheat and the tares, they grow together. But the wheat, the one difference you can find with wheat is this. It's got fruit to it. Now, I'm not a farmer. Some of these folks in here are farmers. I think Brother Reese back here, he's cut wheat. He usually works out in a big combine, I believe. So he's more familiar than I am. But from what I read, here's how it works. Them, the wheat, when it starts to grow, they're growing. Here's a wheat, here's a tare. Watch it. They're growing together. They're growing up straight. But then the wheat has got fruit in the top of it. It's got the real stuff in the top of it. And you know what that wheat will do? Thank God when it gets full, it'll start bending its head over. Almost like it's bowing down. My friend, can I tell you something? Until you come to an old-fashioned altar, until you get down before God and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell when my back broke. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the Lamb of God. Thank God that He still saves sinners. Until you come and you bow your head to the Savior and you say, Lord Jesus, come to my heart and save me. Hey, I tell you what, you're going to bust hell wide open. That wheat, she shoots up and she starts bending its head. But then that, you know what that tare does? It sticks straight up. Straight up! That tear, if he could speak, he'd say, hey, look at me. Hey, I'm somebody. Look at me. I'm a part of this church. Hey, look at me. And you know what he's doing? He's getting ready to get cut off. When that tear sticks straight up, that wheat lays over, then the Master says, all right, reapers, go on and cut the... First of all, look what he said here. Go back, please. Look in verse number 39. Verse 38. Reapers are the angels, verse 39. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Them tares, they're sticking up straight. And the reapers come by. And I can see in my mind's eye, they'd have a sickle. Man alive, you know, thank God we don't live back in the 1800s, but how many of you have ever seen one of them, a bladed sickle where you got, you know, you got a handle here and you got a handle here and they go through and they cut? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Thank God I'm in good company. But they go through and they'll cut. What are they cutting? They're cutting the tares off. They're leaving the wheat. They're cutting the tares off. And the Master said, now that you've reaped them, now that you've cut them down, bind them together and take them and cast them into the furnace of fire and they'll be burned up. So it will be in the end of time. I don't know what you're waiting on, honey, but I'm listening for the shout. I'm waiting for one of these days the trump of God's going to sound, going to raise, and I'm going to be out here. Amen. One of these days, don't believe it's going to be long, the Lord Jesus is going to break through the eastern sky. He said as it was, listen to me, He said as it was in the days of Noah. What was it like? A day of violence. Did you ever think we start living in America? Listen, the other day I heard the news. They told the city of Boston, go in your house and lock your door. Don't come out. Had the city under siege. One teenage boy had the whole city under siege. Everybody's looking for him. They got the armored vehicles out. They got the police out. They got everybody searching SWAT teams. And the city is locked down, hunkered down, people in fear. The Bible said as it was in Noah's day.
It'll be in the coming of Son of Man. Listen to me. I believe it's only the beginning of the violence in our country. Only beginning. You better find a safe refuge. And it ain't going to be in your home. It ain't going to be in your car. It's going to be in the Lord Jesus. But now watch this. After the tares are bind together, cast in a furnace of fire, he said, then go get the wheat. Go get the wheat, the real stuff, the stuff that matters. I want to ask you something today. Can you remember the time, the place, when you bowed your head and you said just a little simple prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. And I ask you to come in my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Have you ever done that? Now, right now, search your heart. Search your soul. You say, preacher, you're just trying to make people closer. I believe this. I believe God's word is true. I believe this. There's wheat and tares sitting here this morning. You've got all the right answers to all the questions. But the thing of it is, there's never been a new birth in your life. You've gone through many motions, signed a pledge card, shook the hand of a preacher, walked down front in a youth rally somewhere. Maybe you was 4 or 5, 6 years old. By the way, parents, never do this. Never tell your children they're saved. Let them tell you. Amen. Because I'll tell you something. When you tell your children, okay, you got saved back yonder in Vacation Bible School. I remember it, honey. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go through life trusting your mama instead of trusting the Lord. Amen. Let Jesus tell them they're saved. Romans says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Wednesday night after the midweek service, I preached last Sunday night at Brother Tom's church. I showed the slides on the Navajo mission trip we're trying to do. A young man came forward, 21 years of age, and he said, I want to make sure I'm saved. And Brother Tom later told me, he said, he's been having a real battle with the assurance of salvation. Wednesday night, my phone rang before I got out of here. Everybody else had gone. Wednesday night, it was that young man, 21 years of age. He said, Brother Frank, I hate to call you. And he said, but I got to know that I'm saved. I said, Stephen, where are you? He said, I got to go to work at 11 o'clock tonight. I said, Stephen, I'll meet you in Reedsville. And I drove from here to Reedsville. The little restaurant we was going to meet at was slammed full. He come over and sat in the car. I said, now tell me, go back. Go back. He began to tell me from the time that he grew up as a little boy. And then he told me about the day that he went to his preacher and he said, what do you mean by repentance? And he said, I remember the day that the preacher took the Bible. I said, Stephen, I can't tell you you're saved. Only God can. But based on what you told me, there was a point in time that you bowed and you trusted Christ as your Savior. Is that not right? He said, yes, sir. I said, now the devil's going to try to make you doubt. And come find out, we got to the root of the matter. Thank God that night in that car, he got victory. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I had rather drive an hour away and sit at 10:30 at night and take that blessed book and show a man how he can know he's saved than for somebody to die that I preached to and spend eternity in hell. Do you know him today?